The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Then hello everybody, this is Bill Buckmaster. My friend Bob Dio is our new producer and engineer of the Buckmaster Show. Bob on the other side of the glass. Together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for this first day of November 2018. It's an important day here at KVOI, where we're now doing local talk from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. under the banner of Bustos Media. KVOI, where your voice matters, on Tucson's voice for all trusted local news and talk. And let's get right to the live line. Our live line number 790-2040. Ward 6, Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek, Democrat, with us. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing excellent. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing very well. Kind of an important day in broadcast history here as the changeover, the handoff, has begun here at KVOI, Steve.
But you're pretty much status quo, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We stay exactly the way we have been for the last seven-plus years here.
Yeah, it's been that long, huh?
Yeah, it has. We left the TV station at the end of 2010, a short stint over at a station called The Jolt, then joined here in June of 2011, so almost 7.5 years here.
Well, you've been very successful. That speaks a lot, speaks highly of you.
Thank you very much. It's we've got some great partners and great sponsors who have made all of that possible.
Right.
We're trying to get you on the program every month, and your visit about a month ago, we talked about water and some of the issues that are facing Tucson water. What's the update on that, Steve?
Well, we are right about ready to launch litigation, which I've been calling for several months now, against product manufacturers of what are called perfluorocarbons. They're PFCs that we found in the water system in water wells out by Davis-Monthan at extremely high levels. First, I have to say that this is not water that we're serving to the public. These are in our wells, and so the water we're serving to our public is the CAP water. That is about 90% true. About 10% of the population is receiving water that is treated so that the PFC level is down below the health advisory limit. But the litigation is aimed at the product manufacturers, 3M in particular, and there are about three or four others. We're going to launch that litigation next week sometime. The purpose of it is to get the companies to come in and do what they are already doing in other parts of the country, and that is to pay for cleaning our system up, and that is to build treatment plants. It is to recapture our capacity that we have lost from having to shut down wells that were found to be contaminated, and also paying for the cost of maintaining the treatment systems going forward. It will not be cheap, but the fact is that 3M has acknowledged their culpability. They have already settled litigation in the state of Minnesota, for instance. They settled an $850 million settlement with the state of Minnesota. And during the course of that settlement, it never made it to court even. During the course of the settlement, documents in the form of emails and internal memos from 3M made it very clear that as far back as the 70s, they had guilty knowledge that the products that they were producing were toxic, and that they should be taking every precaution possible to keep them out of people's water systems. We found out earlier this year that when the products were being used out of Davis-Monthan, instead of gathering it up when it was, it's a firefighting foam, and instead of gathering it up and incinerating it, which is the way it's properly to be disposed of, DM was hosing it into the water system and dumping into the sewer system. And so we know now that's why we found the wells out by DM to be contaminated, and we're going after 3M to say, look, come in here and make it as if we never had that product in the system. And so it's a big deal. We have a water treatment plant out on the southwest side that is treating two other contaminants, TCE and 1,4-dioxane. We settled with the people who were responsible for those products. One was the Air Force and one was former Hughes Aircraft. And the water ratepayers should not have to pay for the irresponsibility of these suppliers, and that's what we're going to do beginning next week, and protect the system and protect the ratepayers.
And again, the water that's being served to Tucson water customers certainly is safe.
It is safe. We are not serving water out of the wells. We have self-imposed a standard that is well below what even the EPA's health advisory is, and so if and when we have found it in wells, we have shut those wells down. There is some water that is coming out of wells that we are treating before it gets to customers and diluting, and so we're way below the health advisory standard. So the question is not is Tucson water serving contaminated water? The answer to that is no. The question is, should the product manufacturers be responsible for coming in and cleaning up the system so that if and when we get into a situation where we are using those wells, then we're assured that the water is going to be clean the same way the CAP water is now that is being served to customers.
How about that Rio Nuevo board looking at 5 possible hotel developments? I remember back in the day we couldn't get anybody into downtown Tucson.
So back in 2009, when I was first elected to this, the then Tucson City Council was looking at about a $200 million hotel, Garfield Traub Hotel, that was going to be way above the Tucson price points. It was going to be the convention center hotel, in quotes, that was going to put us on the map. Problem with that was that the city was going to backstop all the bonds. I remember sitting in a study session with the owners or the prospective owners of the property, the developers, and asking them if they're so comfortable with the financial pro formas on that hotel, would they be willing to switch their risk position with ours? And they refused to do that, which was a pretty good red flag to us that we should not be signing on to that. So we killed that hotel project, and my comment at the time was we ought to be swinging for singles and doubles and not swinging for the fence, and getting the private sector involved. So now we have seen the AC Marriott go in. And as you just mentioned, the Rio is and the city are involved in 2 more dual branded hotels under the same roof, and then another one called Caliber over by the TCC. The combined bed count, once we get them all up and running, will be approximately what that one mega hotel convention hotel would have been. Some fundamental differences, though, are as number one, the city is not backstopping a bunch of bonds, and so if they have financial problems, it is private money that's being placed at risk. Secondly, we will have multiple and varying price points. These are all different products, and so it's not all high-end. You've got a bunch of different options, different demographics. The one that Scott Steiler and we are now talking about, the dual brand called Moxie, and I can't recall the name of the other one, starts with an E, under the same roof, though. One is for young people, more active and vibrant, and the other one is an extended stay. So it's a really good sign that downtown Tucson has fundamentally turned a corner. We are on everyone's map now in terms of a destination, and these hotels are going to really be a boon for the convention center to continue the renovations we've done there and Rio Nuevo has done there to attract more conventions throughout the year. We've got the 2 anchor tenants. We've got the arena football, and we've got the hockey. And we've got several committed, like the Gem Shows, and the Jehovah's Witnesses come in several times a year. So we've got anchor tenants in the building. This is going to these hotel rooms are just going to make downtown even a more appealing destination for out-of-state conventions coming in.
Tucson made the right decision. Phoenix, at the same time back in 2009, they went ahead with a city-financed high-rise building that has really struggled.
Oh, there, yes, and the city did fund that. It was they were doing that at about the same time we were being trying to be lured into this hotel. City of Phoenix is trying to offload that thing. They're losing millions and millions of dollars on it. The longer they retain ownership, and they're going to wind up selling it at a huge loss. So yeah, you're right. We made absolutely the right decision when we told the developers, you know, we'll wait on the market. You know, we'll be patient, and that's what we did. And it's turned out well. The other change though is that we have a whole new Renovable board. And our relationship with them is very positive. And back, you know, 8 or 10 years ago, that was anything but the case.
All right, Steve Kasachek, it's time to tell our listeners and you about my favorite bakery in town. You know what that bakery is, Steve.
Here we go.
Yeah, here we go. It is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's located the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Stop by now for lunch. The bread, Steve, and the team will serve you that sandwich on. Came out of the oven just a few hours ago, and they've got all that great European baked goods, breads, pastries. Coming up in about a half an hour, I want to tell you about Mona's and what they're doing for Thanksgiving. But right now, it's time for lunch. Stop by Mona's Danish Bakery. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com, a link to Mona's and all of our great partners on the Buckmaster Show. 790-2040, if you'd like to join the conversation. Matt, you will be up to the plate after we take our break with Steve Kasachek. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a 3-hour drive from Tucson. So much to do over there, like exploring historic Silver City and visiting the Gila National Wilderness. A great time of year over in Silver City with the very cool nights and warm days, late autumn, mid-autumn. Great place to get away. Check out southwestnewmexico.org, a complete listing of places to stay and things to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's go now to the live line. Matt has a question for Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, first, congratulations to the mayor and council. The number of announcements in Tucson is almost dizzying. It's so hard to keep up with. And it's been a long time coming and a lot of work from the council to lead us in that direction. Regarding the convention center, I wouldn't recommend it right now, but is it time to start looking to the future? Because I feel like we're getting lost in the present. We also need to start looking to the future. We did the renovation, or really Rio Nuevo put in some money to do the renovation of the convention center. Steve, are you starting to possibly look to, like, thinking about what's the point at which we need a new convention center, and where would we put it, possibly on the west side or where it is already? But not today, but something to start thinking about for the future, say 5 to 10 years out. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, good questions, and thank you. On your first point, the progress that we're seeing in and around downtown is really a function of relationships. 10 years ago, everyone was talking about suing each other, and now we're talking about grabbing the rope and pulling in the same direction. And this really, the progress we're seeing really shows what can happen when groups are working together. With respect to the convention center, Rio Nuevo, it is the primary asset, is owned by Rio Nuevo. It is not owned by the city. So any conversation we would have about demolishing that and moving it to a new location or just building a new one on site would certainly have to involve Rio Nuevo in that, because they're the building owners. We're a tenant. Secondly, there is a $40 million project list right now that Rio Nuevo is voting on very soon, if they haven't already. That we've talked about at the council level, and we've weighed in and endorsed and embraced. And these are things such as upgrades to the and expansions to the meeting rooms and the exhibition hall, increases in Wi-Fi, that kind of thing, fan amenities. So there's a lot that needs to be done. Rio Nuevo has already stepped up to the plate and acknowledged and recognized those needs. The city has endorsed them as well. We, the city, have put some capital improvements into things like the HVAC systems and other things. Once we get the Caliber Hotel on, there will be a further discussion about a structured parking facility to relieve some of the overflow parking that's going off into the neighborhoods that surround the TCC. A lot of moving parts to it, but Matt, you're right. The building is kind of old and tired, and the upgrades that we have done and can continue to talk about with Rio will just simply make it a better facility for modern conventions coming in.
Speaking of buildings and facilities, how about the monastery? Give us an update, Steve Kasachek.
Some good things happening at the monastery. In fact, one is coming up on Monday evening, the 5th of November. The public is invited. Ross Rolney and I are going to meet over there at 5:30 and open the doors, and people will be led through for walking tours through the building. The purpose of the tours is to end the tour in the chapel itself and sit down, and Ross and I are perfectly willing and open to listen to the public's input as to how they would like to see the building used once it's renovated. Now, you know, the real controversy there have been two controversies. Number one has been preservation. We have checked that box. Nobody is going to demolish that building. The other controversial piece is what happens on the exterior. We're working in a good direction on that in terms of reducing the size and the scope and the scale of the residential component on the exterior. But that leaves the whole notion as to what happens inside the building. Is it a boutique hotel? Is it a restaurant? You know, what is it? And so 5:30 on Monday, we'll meet over there and kind of take people through. Lots of people have lots of opinions about what they feel should be done on the interior, but very few people have actually seen the inside, so they know what that footprint looks like. Last weekend, or the weekend of October 19th, there were a series of concerts in there, choral groups that rented the space, and they packed the place. They packed the chapel for three straight evenings. So there's clearly a community hunger to get in the site, to get in the space and use it. Ross, of course, is the building owner. He is the owner of a very iconic community asset, and he is sensitive to that, and that's the reason that on Monday we'll be walking people through and listening to their input.
All right. A couple of callers would like to go on. We've got about 4 minutes to get them on. Mike is up to the plate. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, Steve. I want to talk a little bit more downtown. What's going to happen, or is there any talk about that Hotel Arizona that's right off the interstate there near the convention center? Is there any talk about what's going on with that?
So that's the one that's owned by Bert Lopez, by HSL companies, and they also own the renovating. It's right next door to it. I can't remember the name right off the top of my head. Anyway, so we have had conversations with them. I have not seen to this day a financial proposal coming from HSL that would be acceptable to the taxpayers. The comment I've made to their attorney multiple times is that if they continue to ask for more than what anybody else is getting in the downtown core, they're going to be standing by watching everybody else go vertical, and that boat anchor is going to continue to sit there as an eyesore. It's privately owned. The ball's kind of in their court to come up with a proposal that would make sense to the taxpaying public and the city. We're not going to give 20, 25-year abatements when other groups are coming in asking for 6- and 8-year abatements, and I think that's only fair to the taxpaying public.
All right. Let's go now to Dave, who called us at 790-2040. Hey, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Yeah, I'll make it short. I know we all want a new convention center to be all nice, but, hey, we can't afford it. County budget's blown. The city budget's blown. We can't even fix our roads.
Okay.
Situation.
So that's why I'm saying Rio Nuevo owns that thing. The city doesn't own it. We are making renovations to the interior with Rio Nuevo dollars, and the city has backstopped funded some of the improvements. For instance, some solar with some contracts that pay for themselves by the reduction in the utility expenses.
All right, coming up, Steve Kasachek, we're starting a sports show with the well-known Steve Rivera. His show is going to be on from 1 to 3 following my show, and I'm sure Steve will be talking about things like what's been going on at the convention center in the sports area. We're doing well there, aren't we?
He should have some good things to say, not only about the anchor tenants we have downtown, but U of A basketball started off again. We've got an exhibition game on Sunday, and then Houston Baptist comes in to start the season on November 7th. We just boat raced Oregon in football, and we got Colorado coming in here tomorrow. We are two wins away from becoming bowl eligible, and I'd like to see us win all three, but I'm optimistic about both Colorado and beating ASU down here and wind up going to a bowl game. So Rivera ought to have some good things to talk about.
Yeah, he'll have plenty to talk about, and I think he's got Bob Baffert, one of his guests today, and he's got Mike Gabrielson, who for years had a great sports talk.
Yeah, Gabe was on KTUC.
Yeah, Gabe's. I think Gabe is on during the 2 o'clock hour. But anyway, I'll be certainly listening to the show, to Steve's show, after my program on my way home. Steve Kasacek, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you very much.
Likewise, thank you, and congratulations on the rollout of the new format.
Thank you very much. Steve Kasacek, who represents Ward number 6 in the city of Tucson. Of course, he is a Democrat. All right, we're going to come up here on the mid-show break. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are with you Monday through Friday right here on KVOI. It's just about 12:30. Up next, the world-famous, renowned comet discoverer and former Parade magazine science editor, Dr. David Levy. But first, let's take the break. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on weather.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on KVOI. I want to tell you about one of our great sponsors, Green Things, 3384 East River Road. Everyone knows Green Things is the place to go for all things green, all your nursery supplies, the plants, the pottery. But what about Zocalo? Zocalo is now housed over on Green Things in the 13-acre site. For years, Zocalo was the place to go for all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America and their location over at Country Club and Broadway. Well, they're now at Green Things, and there's a whole Zocalo Village, 5 shops at the Zocalo Village at Green Things. So check it out when you're over there getting your plants. Also visit Zocalo Village, 3384 East River Road, and at greenthingsaz.com. All right, let's go now to Vail, Arizona, and the observatory of Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, the former science editor of Parade Magazine, now head of and founder of Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. Dr. Levy, with 23 comets to his credit, certainly one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. Dr. Levy, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you, and welcome back from Oregon. How was your trip there?
Oh, we had a great trip up there, and people had said, Bill, you've got to check it out. The Central Oregon coast, really every bit as pretty as the California coast, which I was, of course, familiar with, but hadn't been up to Oregon. And then we went to Mount Hood, and along that Columbia River Gorge. It was really, really a great trip.
Were there any clear nights while you were there?
Oh, my goodness. Every night was clear night in that we did not see a cloud in the week that we were up there, which is high.
That's unusual for Oregon.
For the Pacific Northwest, there was some kind of a high-pressure system over that area, and it was just brilliant blue skies during the day. Yeah, really fun. David, were you a coin collector or stamp collector growing up?
Yes, I was, in fact. No, I lied. I was not a stamp collector. Instead, I just kind of got interested in stamps as being just part of comets. And, of course, there have been stamps about major comets in the past. But I realized recently that there is one stamp of all the countries in the world. There was just one stamp that was made for Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9, which I am going to include in my next column that I write. And it is a stamp produced by the German government that shows two of the impacts on Jupiter from the comet that collided with Jupiter and that our group discovered in 1993 and that collided in 1994.
Well, I will tell you that, you know, I'm an avid traveler, and that goes back to my grandfather, really, and his stamp collection, David Levy.
Oh, really?
He had an incredible stamp collection, my grandpa, and I, as a kid, would learn about all these places, like, in Africa and all these places that at the time, they were still colonies of the major powers in Europe. But that's kind of how I learned geography and kindled my interest in what has become a lifelong passion of travel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How interesting,
yep.
Bill.
Yep.
Yeah, something else we share together.
How about coins? Did you ever get into coins?
Yes. Coins as well. because reading Shakespeare and reading Julius Caesar and Calpurnia says, when beggars die, there are no comets seen. The heavens themselves blaze forth the death of princes. If you were to walk into a drugstore with a coin, a Roman coin that shows the great comet of 44 BC came a few months after Caesar was assassinated, one of two things would happen. You'd either get thrown out of the store, or the owner of the store would take you to lunch and offer to give you his children.
Yes. Well, that coin would be so rare, that'd be very pricey.
Although I've seen it, and I have a picture of it.
Wow. Any meteor showers on the horizon?
Yeah, there's one in a couple of days, Bill. It's called the Taurids, and the Taurid meteors are not a very strong shower. You only might get 3 or 4 meteors an hour. However, they are very big and bright. So I'm looking forward, perhaps Saturday night, to observing them, maybe seeing a couple, and maybe even photographing one or two of them.
David, how is the autobiography coming? And I believe the name of your autobiography is A Night Watchman's Journey, The Road Not Taken.
Yes, it is. It is actually the name. I'm not sure about the title, the subtitle yet. My wife is going to have to be convinced about that, but Night Watchman's Journey is the title at the moment. And we're just studying the cover now, and we're hoping that the book will be out in May or June.
Well,
it is my life story.
And there's a lot in that life story, the life story of Dr. David Levy. David Levy, the quote of the month now on the Buckmaster Show.
The quote of the month is a very simple one. It's one that I made up, and I was being interviewed on a show a little bit like yours. This was the Today Show on NBC, and it was the day before the first impacts. And the guy looked at me and said, "So what do you think about comets?" And I looked at him without thinking, and I said, "Comets are like cats. They both have tails, and they both do precisely what they want." You never know how a comet is going to behave, and we don't know what this thing is going to do when it hits Jupiter. We found out.
Yes, sir, we certainly did.
We certainly did.
The most spectacular collision probably ever witnessed in our solar system, correct?
Yes, it is, and still excited about it 25 years later.
There you go. Yeah. All right, any travels coming up, David?
We're going to visit our family at Thanksgiving, which should be a lot of fun. We're really looking forward to that. And then I have a lecture in January in Seattle. Other than that, I will be here waiting for your next monthly visit.
Thank you very much. And I think we're all scheduled for that visit in early December. David Levy, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. And glad you enjoyed your trip to Oregon.
Thank you very much. David was mentioning that he'll be visiting relatives for Thanksgiving. Do you believe it, Bob Dio, my friend on the other side of the glass? Bob, I can't believe Thanksgiving is 3 weeks from today. It comes the earliest possibly it can this year. And it's either the fourth Thursday of the month. And so when you've got 5 Thursdays, you've got the 22nd of November is when Thanksgiving falls, and that is the earliest about it can be. So now is the time to think about Mona's Danish Bakery, the home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. My friend, the owner, and what a great baker he is, Steve. They're waiting now for your order. Stop by Steve's or give them a call at 579-1959 and ask about Thanksgiving and what Steve can do for you. Great pies. They can do the pies. Of course, they do all your dinner rolls. The pastries, fabulous pastries. And what about putting quiche on the Thanksgiving table this year? That's an idea that Steve came up with, and I think that's a good one. Mona's, your home of the Danish Kringle, 579-1959, or visit the website monasdanishbaker.com. We'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Local News and Talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on the arts.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're joined by attorney Don Luce of Luce Law with offices here in Tucson and in the Phoenix area. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's one of 24 great contributors that we have to this program. He's author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers. That's in its second printing. And there's a new printing, a second printing of Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don, how are you, sir?
I'm great, Bill. Thank you.
Is that book out available yet, The Estate Planning,
the second edition? The second edition will come out after the first of the year.
It will. And there's a lot to update in that. And if we have time, we can mention that maybe near the end of the program today.
Super.
So much going on. Of course, Election Day now literally hours away, days away. This Prop 127 has really been kind of the big focus, hasn't it, of all the
propositions? Well, it's certainly been the proposition that has gotten the most attention, and it also is the proposition that has had the most money spent both for it and against it, so yes.
Before we get to Prop 127, the story that is making news today, Don Luce, is this Arizona, quote, ballot harvesting ban has survived another court ruling. What is ballot harvesting?
Well, simply stated,
is that something you go out in the field and you grab a pumpkin or harvest?
I suppose that would be one way of looking at it. No, seriously, it's a process where people collect ballots, early ballots from others, and then take those early ballots to the polling stations and essentially serve as a courier or a messenger for the voter. That's called harvesting. In 2016, the Republican-controlled legislature enacted a statute that made it illegal to engage in that activity. So, for instance, I could not come to your house and offer to take your ballot to the polling station because we're not related, I don't live in the household, and I'm not your caregiver, which mm-hmm. are some of the exceptions. If I did do that, I would be subject to a one-year prison term and $150,000 fine. Now, this 2016 law has been attacked twice in lawsuits. The first one was in the summer when the state of Arizona was conducting primary elections. Now, in that lawsuit, the people who wanted the ban lifted or declared unenforceable claimed that they were entitled to deliver the ballots of others because essentially it was a mail delivery service. And that the United States Post Office doesn't have a monopoly on mail delivery, and therefore they were entitled to do this as mail deliverers.
That's an interesting take.
The judge didn't find it to be persuasive and said that no, it's not exempt because it's delivery of mail. Their second argument in August was that they have a First Amendment right to deliver another's communications. So I thought this was a very clever argument, by the way. They said that they're facilitating the speech of others. So the First Amendment, of course, allows for freedom of speech. And their argument was that by taking a ballot from another person and delivering it to the polling place, they were facilitating free speech.
Huh.
Not their own free speech, but the free speech of the person whose ballot they were delivering. Again, the judge said, no, under the First Amendment, you don't have the right to deliver another's ballot. It doesn't constitute freedom of speech, and therefore, we are not going to find the ballot harvesting ban unenforceable. Just recently, a second lawsuit was filed, and this lawsuit was just tossed out yesterday. And in this lawsuit, a slightly different theory was presented. And under this theory, the collection of ballots was, quote, expressive conduct under the First Amendment. In other words, it was delivery of speech. So again, going back to the First Amendment, the argument being that it's a protected form of speech. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, three-judge panel thereof, rejected that argument. And threw the lawsuit out saying that the Arizona ban on ballot harvesting is not unenforceable, and if somebody engages in that conduct, they will be subject to the criminal penalties that are prescribed in the statute.
Well, do other states, do you know, have anything like this ballot harvesting?
Not to my knowledge, but it's not... it would not be surprising if ballot harvesting occurred on a nationwide basis because, quite frankly, it seems to be more effective for the Democratic Party than it is for the Republican Party because essentially it allows people who otherwise would not make it to the polling place mm-hmm. to cast their ballots. And so And again, it's it probably aligns politically, but the Democrats are responsible for the judicial attacks on the ballot harvesting ban, and the Republican legislature, which enacted the statute 2 years ago, seems to be the party that proposes that the ban is necessary to avoid election fraud and other bad things that would happen if you allowed third persons to carry the ballot to the polling place.
Seemingly, this would be dead in the water. Or are they going to go to another court, higher court, or is there? Well, they could go to the Arizona Supreme Court on this, couldn't they?
No, this was actually a federal challenge.
Okay.
This was the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals that most recently. Upheld the statute. For this election cycle, it's history.
Yeah.
What happens in the future is hard to say because as we've already seen since the summer, two lawsuits have been filed, each one of which alleged a different theory as to why the ban is unenforceable. In both cases, the court said, we don't find your arguments persuasive. You don't have a First Amendment right to deliver someone else's ballot to the polling place. And you don't have to, the legislature doesn't have to establish that there's fraud in connection with ballot harvesting in order to have enacted this statute and make it valid.
Roberta has called. Roberta calling us at 790-2040. She has a question for Don Luce. Go ahead, Roberta.
Hi, Roberta.
Thank you. Hi. I'm a disabled homebound senior citizen, and I was not able to get my ballot filled out in time to get it in the mail, and it sure would have helped. I would have been able to vote if I could have had someone come and pick it up and carry it in. I do not have anyone living in my house or a caregiver or anyone that could do that. And I have been bombarded by 2 phone calls a day and 2 mailings a day from the political parties, and they said they got my name, number, and address from the registrar's office.
Okay.
Can that be stopped?
Well, that's actually a separate question, Roberta. I will mention, however, that the ballot harvesting ban does not apply to family members related to a voter by blood, marriage, adoption, or legal guardianship. Now, I don't think those exceptions would apply. People who reside in the same home also can hand deliver someone else's ballot as a caregiver, and people who work with people in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and adult daycare facilities or similar places also are exempt from the statute. If any one of those exemptions applies, then you can actually have somebody deliver your ballot under this exception to the 2016 law. Otherwise, like if you had a friend deliver it who was not a part of your household and wasn't related to you, I'm afraid that you would be in violation of the ballot harvesting ban.
Okay, Roberta. So if you can get a caregiver to deliver it for you, you'd be okay. And about, I would call FN Rodriguez's office about the county recorder concerning your name and those matters. Quickly, Don, Prop 127, a ton of money has been thrown at this, and the Attorney General has filed a lawsuit concerning this.
Boy, I'll tell you, this gets more interesting by the day. So just to remind your listeners, Prop 127 is a proposal to require that half of all energy produced in Arizona by the year 2030 be from renewable sources. And the proposed law defines what a renewable source is and what a renewable source isn't. This has been extensively opposed by the state's largest utility, which is APS. In fact, it's really staggering to hear these numbers. Arizona Public Service, Bill, has spent in excess of $30 million in advertising in opposition to Prop 127.
Unbelievable.
The Political Action Committee that is supporting Prop 127 has spent $24 million in advertising and related promotional materials to get 127 passed. Now, 127 has, as you pointed out, also given rise to a lawsuit by the Attorney General of the state of Arizona against the committee that is proposing the renewable energy law. In that lawsuit, Mark Brnovich is claiming that he's been defamed. So what the heart of this is, it's a little clause in the summary of Prop 127, which says a yes vote will replace Arizona's current plan for transitioning non-governmental electric utilities to renewable energy with a constitutional mandate that, irrespective of cost to consumers, irrespective of cost to consumers being the operative phrase that was added by the Attorney General to the Secretary of State's draft. And the proponents of 127 have said that is the Attorney General's hand trying to fix the election. So Mark Brnovich said, you know what, if you say that about me, you have defamed me, and I not only want unspecified damages, but I want punitive damages, and so far, it looks like that lawsuit is on track to go.
All right, Don Luce, thank you very much. Don Luce of Luce Law, on Don's two books, Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers and estate planning in Arizona, which will be out after the first of the year in a second edition. Don, it's always a pleasure.
My pleasure, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Coming up next, Steve Rivera, the new sports show debuting right here from 1 to 3 on the all-new KVOI. I'll be back, of course. Regular time, 12:04 tomorrow, with our Friday Roundtable and Friday Focus interview. Have a great afternoon.